The people of the Syrian city of Aleppo, or at least those who've survived and remained throughout this long, grueling war, are facing new privations. Food and medicine have begun to dwindle there. It's a result of an advance by government forces which have cut off the only road into the rebel-held eastern side of the divided city. The government advance, backed by a Russian air offensive, is seen as a major setback for opposition forces in Syria's second city. But the United Nations says there's only enough food for about 145,000 people in Aleppo for another month. And in some places, starvation is again a reality. Ramesh Rajasingham is the UN's Deputy Regional Humanitarian Coordinator for the Syria Crisis. He's just over the border in Turkey this morning and joins me now. Ramesh, welcome to RN Breakfast. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. It's good to be on the show.
Can you describe the situation in eastern Aleppo right now?
Yes, the major road, in fact, the only road going into the eastern part of Aleppo, which is controlled by the opposition groups in Syria, has been cut off due to advances by the Syrian army. Now, with the suspension of activity on that road for humanitarian convoys, we have no way of getting assistance into eastern Aleppo, which currently has between 200,000 to 300,000 people right now. There are sufficient food stocks for about 145,000 people for about a month, and some basic health stocks. Beyond that, there's going to be a crisis if we cannot provide regular assistance, humanitarian assistance to them, because they are essentially cut off from the rest of the country.
Can you describe for me why they've been cut off in this way? Because Aleppo has been under siege and under strain now, that ancient city, for years.
Indeed. This road, it's generally called by aid workers the Castella Road. It skirts the northern part of Aleppo city. And it was the only road that that we could use to provide assistance into eastern Aleppo, mainly from cross-border actors who are based in Turkey. So as a result of the closure of this road now, which is the only road, as I mentioned, that people could go in and out, Aleppo cannot be reached. The government of Syria has indeed approved a shipment of aid that to approximately 60,000 people for the month of July. So we're hoping that will go ahead. And if that is the case, that will help alleviate some of the needs in Aleppo.
So there's the prospect of that additional aid going through. You say there are some stockpiles, but not enough to feed the people who are there for even a month. How do you rate the chances of starvation in parts of that city?
Well, we have seen, obviously, starvation, or what we call a severe acute malnutrition in other parts of Syria, mainly because people have had no access to food. We're hoping it does not come to that situation in Aleppo or the eastern part of Aleppo, because this is a much larger population than you have in many of the other areas that are similarly encircled. So that's why we're pushing for assistance to get into eastern Aleppo as soon as possible.
How long do you think you've got to negotiate some sort of arrangement where supplies can be allowed in?
We have sufficient food stocks for about 145,000 people for 1 month. And these are the people who are currently served. In other words, they've been deemed to be vulnerable by the major humanitarian actors. And so if we can meet their needs for about a month, if we can somehow use part of that time, at least part of that time, to see if we get an improved access into the city. But time is running out. We need to have access as soon as possible.
And what would have to happen for you to get that access?
That would mean that all parties to the conflict who have some degree of control over either the route or transport convoys going on the route, because you don't necessarily need to be on the route to control activity on the route. If they could somehow allow these humanitarian convoys to pass unhindered, then we would be able to get some degree of access into Aleppo.
And so who are those actors?
Since, as you mentioned, the government of Syria obviously has now moved closer, or has actually taken control of the road, but it's also the non-state armed actors which you have in the area.
So Hezbollah?
I can't say who. I'm not sure who, which specific actors there, but we, as humanitarians, we generally call them non-state armed actors, and so those are the ones that have some who could have control over transport on the road.
Okay, the Russians are involved in providing air support to the Syrian government here. To what extent is this situation able to be resolved by the Syrian government alone, or is the UN also having to negotiate with these non-state actors and indeed with other international forces?
Well, you know, humanitarians here and in all parts of the world, in all humanitarian crises, their job is in the course of their work to negotiate with those who have influence over access. And they do this on the basis of key humanitarian principles, which we call, which are impartiality, neutrality, independence, and humanity. And working on those principles, we reach out to whoever has any sort of influence over access, and thereby, you know, that's what we would be prepared to do to be able to get this access.
You're being very careful with your language there, obviously. There are about 600,000 Syrians living under siege countrywide. What's been the UN's experience of working with the Syrian government to allow a situation where its own people have enough food so they don't starve?
Well, there has been an improvement in access. And as you know, we've had several interagency missions recently over the last few months that have accessed some of these areas which have not had access for several years. Now, is the access optimal? Is it the exact type of access and assistance that we need? No, it's not perfect, but it has allowed some degree of respite for the populations there.
Well, obviously, it's a very difficult situation right across Syria with not just government forces, rebels, Islamic State. It's a very difficult humanitarian situation and a crisis that you've described for us this morning in Aleppo. Thank you so much for making time.
Not at all.
Ramesh Rajasingham, the UN's Deputy Regional Humanitarian Coordinator for the Syria crisis, with us this morning, speaking from the other side of the border in Turkey.